considered used at buyer risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Tom Lehrer reminds us the greatest threat facing the world has in the past always been regarded as nuclear warfare, but it took Bill Gates to conduct symposia over the last 15 or 20 years to tell us a real threat is not nuclear warfare, but a pandemic, which he seems to have arranged to fulfill his own prophecy. Isn't that remarkable? I'm very pleased to have today as my special guest a woman of very astute intellect and broad knowledge who's going to share with us her thoughts, where I want to just seed the conversation with a couple of observations that we have had. Joe Biden reaching forward during an interview to put his hand through a microphone, clearly CGA fabricated. Three times lately during an interview, he's referred to Kamala Harris as President Harris, not once, not twice, but three times. Susan Bradford, welcome back to The Raw Deal. Give us your thoughts about these and other subjects.
Yes. Hi, Jim. Thank you so much for having me back on your program. It's always a pleasure. Yes, we're definitely looking at an administration of very ambiguous legitimacy, for sure. I actually wanted to provide you with some insights on how the deep state arrived to where we are. And we're actually looking at the final stages of the deep state from a vision that these people had going back 2,000 years. So I thought this might be interesting for your listeners to understand, because it will shed a lot of insights into what we're dealing with now, and hopefully to help our patriots forge solutions on how we can deal with some of these people. But I'd be happy to go ahead.
Susan, yes, I want, and also we're getting all kinds of signs of tension increasing with Russia. This is completely unnecessary. Joe Biden referring to Putin as a killer. as someone who has no soul, Russia recalling its ambassador. Now Russia has cut all contact with NATO. There are heightened tensions as NATO warships are entering the Black Sea. I'm profoundly disturbed by these developments, Susan. Shed light on these and any others as you may prefer.
Sure. So with regards to Russia, Russia has wrestled free from this cabal, and they have been trying to create what's called the Third Rome, which is an area of Christian revivalism. And therefore, the cabal, such that it is trying to put them back under their clutches. Russia is a threat to them. When they're talking about, like, Putin has no soul, that's actually code for them, because the occult forces that we're dealing with believe that they are as gods walking on earth, and that everybody else, which is we the people, those who are not under their authority, or, you know, like the rest of us, have no souls. And so that was a very direct communication with regards to that.
Oh, that's astonishing, Susan, just astonishing. And how much of this is Zionist-driven? Because, of course, I'm familiar with the Talmudic proposition that Jews are superior to all other races who only exist to serve the Jews, and that they are as inferior, other races are as inferior to the Jews as the animals that walk the earth are inferior to human beings as species. I find all this profoundly troubling. If there were ever an ideology that threatened evil for the world, that's it.
I absolutely agree with you, Jim. What I was able to discover, this was in a book that I've recently published. It's called Royal Blood Lies, not lines, but lies, L-I-E-S. I actually was able to trace the roots of Zionism. And it's actually based on the shamanistic traditions of Inner Mongolia, of the Tibetans and the Khazarians, and these were the warrior merchant classes who accompanied the Venetian merchants along their trade routes. And they engaged in a type of slash and burn policy where they would traverse through East Asia. They would exterminate maybe 90% of the population, enslave the rest, and steal all of their wealth. And so with part of this tradition, it's called them Tengri. Their god of Tengri gives them the authority to rule the earth. They want to exterminate everybody else in the interest of environmentalism because they believe that they are as gods. The rest of us are born to die and should be dealt with. So the Venetians acquired these occult practices because they were able to summon demons and somehow acquire power through the occult. And originally the Venetians called themselves Christians, but they were deemed to be Christian heretics. They have reestablished themselves as Jews, even though they're not Jewish. And a lot of Jews have excommunicated them. And the reason that they picked Judaism is that throughout history, and again going back over 2,000 years, they have been told that you must adopt a religion or we will exterminate you. This was, the message from European leaders. And they knew that the Christians had a monarchy. They had the monarchies, had a divine right to rule. The Muslims had a caliphate. And the only religion that did not yet have a kingdom was the Jews. And so they adopted Judaism with a view to acquiring Jerusalem as their capital. The reason they picked Jerusalem is that it was a key trade route for the Venetians. It was also, if you recall, that the Knights Templar, who bore the Red Cross on their shield, would escort pilgrims to Jerusalem during the Crusades. This was done on behalf of the Venetians, and the Knights Templar were actually they were pirates in a way that they would plunder from their communities, steal their wealth for the Venetians. And so when we're looking at Zionism, you're looking at an ancient cultural force tracing to the Republic of Venice that wants to reestablish the old Venetian trading routes which is now manifested in the Belt and Road Initiative with China, with Zionism at the center of it. They also want to reestablish Rome like the old Roman Empire that has crumbled. They want to reestablish the Roman Empire with themselves at the pinnacle as dictators. And part of the symbolism that they've adopted to realize this eventuality is that there is an obelisk in Washington, D.C., in London, and at the Vatican. And this obelisk is called Cleopatra's Needle. And it represents, the male within a circle, which represents the female. And history, Cleopatra and Julius Caesar bore a child. They had a child. Cleopatra wanted Caesar to adopt that child to be the heir to the Roman Empire. He did not allow that to happen. So that obelisk symbolizes their intent on inheriting the Roman Empire, which is essentially inheriting the world.
That's such fascinating stuff, Susan. Do you believe this is tied in with the COVID pandemic? We're told is so threatening, even though we have study after study suggesting it's not actually causing any increase in deaths, including one from Johns Hopkins showing that there was no increase in any age group from 2020 to 2019, confirmed by no increase in the use of oxygen tanks or IV drips and stand, which would be essentially utilized in greater number if there were, in fact, all these hospitalizations from COVID. It looks to me like the whole thing is the greatest scam in the history of the world.
Yes, I would agree with you. Going back into history, one of the tactics that the Venetians used was chemical warfare. And when they conquered Constantinople, which was the capital of Rome under Constantine, they exterminated 90% of the population through chemical warfare. And I know Bill Gates, I believe, has talked about exterminating 90% of the population of the world. So it's that's also a reference to this old ancient Roman Empire, the mission they had to reestablish the Roman Empire. And part of the Mongolian tactics are it's a part of that their black magic is to convince the population that they are overwhelmed and must submit. So, for example, there might be two or three Mongolians taking over a large village. They would send their warriors around the village to create the impression that the villagers were surrounded. The villagers, in turn, would retreat to their huts, only to be to be massacred by the Mongolians, where they could easily turn around. There were more of them than there were the Mongolian warriors, and defeat them head on. So that's part of their tactic is to make us, we the people, feel that there really is no choice. You've got to take your vaccine. You've got to put on your mask. Be a good, obedient citizen, and all will be well. So they're trying to impose their power structure on us to our own detriment. And I was able to trace the origins of the coronavirus to the city of London, to an institute called the Pertwright Institute. This patented the virus. The organization receives funding from the Bill Gates Foundation, the European Commission, the WHO. And Pertwright was a descendant of the Rothschild family. The patent went through a group called Kinetech. Kinetech is a major defense contractor in which the Queen of England holds the golden share. So in order for that patent to have gone through, it would have had to have received the approval from Her Majesty the Queen. And then, of course, we have the Queen of England, the coronavirus references her in the name, the corona, which references the Queen. And the Queen is, in fact, controlled by the Rothschild family. So, yes, it all does tie in. It's part of their agenda to subdue the population. And it's also part of their their ongoing strategy, which is Hegelian dialectics, cause, a reaction, solution. So the cause, of course, is the coronavirus. The reaction is the lockdown. And then the solution would be the Great Reset.
Yes, and depopulating Earth by, in staggering numbers using these vaccines, these mRNA vaccines. You know, Susan, I still think most of the American public has no idea that these are not ordinary vaccines, that these are completely different, that they have a gene splicing component, that they actually change your DNA. And while you may seem fine initially, they actually have, in effect, wiped out your immune system in relation to this threat, so that next flu season or whatever you encounter it, your body actually overreacts massively and attacks itself. So by taking the vaccine, you're setting yourself up for a massive attack of your own body on yourself with devastating, sad to say, fatal results.
Yes, I think that was the plan, and I'm not a doctor, so I can't speak to the medical aspects of it, but I can say that that since they view us as robots, this goes back to Aristotle, that we're mere robots who can be programmed to do as they want, and they want to obliterate the divine right to rule, which is to have God at the pinnacle of society, governing the affairs of humankind. Part of the vaccine, I understand, is intended to cut off that aspect of the person to connect to their intuition and to their higher self. So it's to render them like docile robots. And I think in some cases, you know, the vaccines have been fatal. So it would be part of a wider agenda just to depopulate. You're absolutely correct on that.
You know, my impression is, in fact, you're going to get more mortalities out of the vaccines than you would have from the coronavirus itself, which seems to be very mild. And indeed, as I have suggested, we have studies saying it's not actually killing anybody. Way back when this first broke out, back, say, in March and so forth, I began doing studies, and Ole Domegaard, a dear friend and collaborator, suggested I look at European mortality tables. And although the coronavirus was supposedly ravaging Europe at the time, when I took a look at the mortality tables, there was no peak, no spike, no increase in deaths. They were all perfectly normal. At about the same time, a lot of citizen journalists were going to hospitals that were supposed to be overflowing with COVID patients and found them empty. I mean, it's just stunning, Susan, the magnitude of this deception, where nobody would be played if they were only told the truth by the mainstream media.
I absolutely agree with you, Jim, and it's also very distressing. I'm hearing in England, some of my friends in England and Ireland, they're saying that there's an increase in suicides, because a lot of people are terrified of taking the vaccine and they don't want to live in a technocracy. You know, and of course, the media is overplaying these numbers that if you take the, you know, that you have to take this vaccine, they're afraid that if they do, they'll die. So I think it's a very bad situation.
Stunning. Absolutely stunning, Susan. Give us more of your thoughts about what's going on in your latest research.
Well, it was very interesting. Like when I originally, I've been researching the royal bloodlines, and I knew that the Rothschilds had financed both sides of the American Revolution, and they'd also financed both sides of, or all sides rather, of the Napoleonic Wars. And of course, through the Napoleonic Wars, they crashed the stock market and were able to take over the British monarchy. So I wanted to kind of get to the root of how this cabal had originated. I noticed that during the Napoleonic Wars, they had destroyed the Holy Roman Empire, and I actually didn't know much about the Holy Roman Empire. Our history books in America don't really cover it much. So I followed history all the way back to the founding of the Roman Empire, and if you may recall, history is chronologically divided between BC, which is before Christ, and then AD, which is Anno Domini. So the founding of the Roman Empire corresponds with the birth of Jesus Christ. And that was due to the fact that the Roman families had, they were initiated into Christianity, and there was also a sacred bloodline that was established. And so there were some mercenary forces that wanted to rule, that, but were barred from doing so. And so eventually, you know, they were trying to figure out how can they break apart this kingdom. So eventually the Roman Empire broke apart into the Byzantine Empire and the Holy Roman Empire. The Byzantine Empire ended up forming alliances with the Venetians, who, you know, had these other alliances with the Mongolians, the Khazarians, the Tibetans, and they were employing black magic. They were, you know, very kind of psychopathic, you know, hell-bent on acquiring as much money as possible, exterminating populations. They rejected God, and eventually their empire fell apart. So around the 1200s, the Venetians were the dominating maritime force. They had extensive trading routes throughout the world, and as they were on the decline, they saw that the British were on the ascent, and so they began to forge alliances with the British. And this was this began during the reign of Elizabeth I, who had sent Sir Walter Raleigh and Sir Francis Bacon to North America to establish our colonies. Part of their merchant class was established through the East India Company. Now, originally, the East India Company was established as a very benevolent trading operation for the merchants of London. But as the Venetians began to insinuate themselves into that organization, the East India Company took on a very sinister form. It transformed from trade into conquest. And so they would have their warriors join them to conquer the world. So any outlet they would establish, they would try to plunder the resources, exterminate people, take the land for themselves and expand their empire. So early on within the within America, they saw they wanted to, conquer the world. So the first part of that plan involved separating Great Britain from its colonies. So they fomented the American Revolution. And it was a very interesting that when I was looking into the American Revolution, that the colonists were actually had a very amicable and prosperous and very positive relationship with Mother England. The skirmishes and the dissent was actually imported abroad from revolutionaries. For this purpose, and that's why you'll see that a lot of our American the leaders of the American Revolution were slave owners. The slaves were from the East India Company, and that they were actually considered to be very treasonous by the British monarchy. So while this was going on, the Rothschilds, the Rothschild patriarch, who was working with Oppenheimer Bank, had a financial relationship with the German prince, so he was able to connect the Hessian mercenaries to the British crown to fight the colonists, and he was financing both the colonists and the American Revolution to separate both. Once the American Revolution had run its course, he then tried to establish a central bank within the colonies or within the new country. Thankfully we had very honorable people, of the Judeo-Christian tradition, who did not allow him to kind of impose his puppet regime, and the central bank was rejected soon after. It was very interesting. A lot of us think that the basis of the New World Order, the philosophical basis, is Hegelian dialectics. They think that refers to cause, reaction, solution, resolution. But what it actually refers to is perpetual revolution. So they promoted representative governments throughout the world. And of course, who wouldn't want to be in favor of a new government that was represented by the people, that supported liberty, justice, freedom, all of the virtues. But the the revolution was not intended to do that. Rather, what they were doing is they were going across the world, fomenting revolutions that were legitimately held by Christian monarchs, toppling those monarchs by pushing revolution based upon representative governments. They would then implant their own people within these representative governments, and then they would kind of repeat the cycle. So for them, perpetual revolution, they wanted to take the status quo within a society, have each new generation come up, reject their society, react against it, and then they would have revolution through revolution. They would topple the leaders, collect the assets, and then repeat the cycle. So they were actually the driving force and the financiers behind the communist revolution, the Russian revolution, the Napoleonic Wars, all of the communist revolutions throughout Latin America, which were geared at separating the European monarchs from their colonies. They would then implant their own puppet regimes, and they repeated this cycle. And the whole point of this was to consolidate their own power. So as we can see today within our own government, our own representative government that was established of, by, and for the people, all of the branches of government, instead of serving as a check on each other, are all moving in lockstep to serve the wider Rothschild agenda.
Wow.
So it's kind of interesting. And so one of the repercussions of that is that all of the governments throughout the world are illegitimate, because after they toppled the British monarchy, they were able to buy breeding rights into the crown through Queen Victoria, and they were, from that point, they were able to breed themselves into the European monarchies throughout the world, compromise them. Then they would foment revolutions, topple the monarchies, establish these new representative governments, control them. And so I think that's in part, like, if we can, if you understand that these were all set up illegitimately by a small group of people, then we could actually take back the authority within our governments. We can restore integrity to those governments.
Suzanne, it's wonderful, wonderful stuff. We're about to hit our break here. I'm so pleased to have you here today. We'll continue.
Oh, thank you. Likewise.
Right after this break.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where my featured guest today, Susan Bradford, is giving us a masterful historical perspective on situations and circumstances that have profound effect upon our lives today. Susan, before we progress, I want to say I'm very puzzled by the role of what's supposed to be anti-racism, which seems to be a new and especially virulent form of racism. Get this, for example, the University of Iowa recently held a virtual anti-racist workshop. A guest declared he doesn't teach white authors. Attendees were asked to dig deep into their whiteness. I want to read a part of this because it just dumbfounds me and solicit your opinion of what's going on here. The panel hosted a variety of speakers, the main purpose of which was to understand how writing course curricula neglect the impact of writers of color, and that English classes have centered and celebrated works that haven't addressed the realities, histories, or cultures of communities of colors and other minoritized and marginalized people. Students listened to guest speakers such as Felicia Chavez, an alumna of the university's nonfiction writing program. When speaking about how to be anti-racist in writing, she insisted, "To center whiteness is neutral and objective and universal as it is embedded in our marketing material, our syllabi, our lecture notes, our curricula, our frame of reference in our faculty and administration." Goes further in writing and craft concepts. She believed we must recognize as malleable and not some immovable pillar of white Western hegemony, and suggested allow for collective meaning making when it comes to setting the terms of vision of her own work. I presume she's referring to classic works of English literature like Chaucer, Shakespeare, Rabelais, and the like. we have another Mark Matthew Kelly, a visiting writer at the university, who focused on his experience as a teacher, recalling telling a group of white students, "To say you have a culture, my lovely white students, before whiteness, there was something else." Kelly urges students to dig deep, but also dig into your whiteness, dig into all of it. Kelly further spoke on an exchange with a blind student, realizing he couldn't say, "What do you see?" Kelly, believing himself, was actually ableist. He later stated he doesn't teach white people since those aren't authors he reads. He said he's only learned from non-white authors, and that, quoting him, "These are the things, the lessons I have learned in writing, or in large part from these particular writers. Susan, I'm just dumbfounded." I mean, that's just declaring ignorance of Western civilization and turning it into a virtue and espousing a new virulent form of anti-white racism. I'm appalled.
I'm appalled as well. It's really, it's disgusting what they're doing. Unfortunately, this is really part of their strategy that they've honed for really over 2,000 years. So what's going on is that they have identified the white people as being the next layer of the establishment that they need to topple in order to progress towards consolidating their own power. So during the revolutions of 1848, for example, the Rothschilds and the revolutionaries would attack the aristocratic classes and tell them that they were unvirtuous by not espousing liberty and fraternity and these different kind of radicalized version of you know, basic human decency, and to force them to give up their power and their wealth, and if they wouldn't give it up, they would actually take it from them. So I think this is kind of their next stage. They want to remove the white people from society to prop up the black people, and then once the black people have risen, then I'm sure they'll find a new virtue or new grievance to use to take them down, because maybe, you know, the black people are now oppressing the Hispanics that need to be removed to make way for a new group of people. So each time, you know, they cut the society layer by layer, from the monarch to the aristocrats to the bourgeoisie, and then to the working people, all the way on down. Most of these revolutions have been financed by the banks and by Wall Street. And as we've seen, you know, Black Lives Matter was sponsored by the major banks and the major corporations. And from what I've gathered, and I don't think they're going to be successful, but what they wanted to do is to clear out Europe and the United States, you know, part of the depopulation agenda. They want to make way for a larger homeland for the Chinese people, you know, to expand their living space. And what they would like to do in the long term, but I don't think they're going to succeed, is they want to eradicate Western civilization and then have like a new society that will be based upon a Chinese history that will reflect favorably upon them.
Really? Really?
That was just a wider goal.
Stunning, Susan. That's just stunning.
Yeah, they plan this all out. I mean, they're using the same strategies that they've employed for generations, and you can understand why they don't want a truthful account of history. Because if we knew what they had done before, we could anticipate what they're going to do next.
Unbelievable. It seems to me the Biden administration is just moving pell-mell into the destruction of American society and culture, that they're at the forefront of so-called cancel culture. And really, I mean, all of its elements are intended to make America amorphous, lose its historical sense, its own national identity, and make it more amenable to turmoil and really weakness on the international scene. I mean, I see this effort to destroy America as going on wholesale and championed by the Democrat Party.
You're right. And And they attack it from every single level. You know, they attack our morals and virtues, and you know, which is another level. And they did this to the British aristocrats as well. You know, they used to be very you know, grounded, virtuous people, but as the revolutionaries took over, they tried to get the aristocrats caught up in conspicuous consumption, distractions, you know, promiscuity, to the point where they really didn't know what they were doing. They were caught unaware by this emerging revolutionary force. So I think they're doing the same in America. You know, they're overwhelming our society by foreigners to the point where, you know, we no longer have an American identity anymore. You know, they blame the white Christians for slavery when we had nothing to do with it. It was actually the cabal through the East India Company who were the most prolific slave drivers, slave owners, and they're the ones pushing this new agenda on behalf of justice for the minorities. You know, so it's always up is down, black is white. It's a very Orwellian type of system that they're creating.
My inference would be that all this transgenderism and promoting the idea of males who identify themselves as females being admitted to women's locker room, showers, athletic competition is part and parcel of the effort to destroy who we are as a nation, our moral character and fabric, where it seems to me much of this is inspired by the fact that the highest level figures, or many of them in America, are themselves perverts. I mean, I say that about Bill Clinton. I say that about Hillary Clinton. I say that about Nancy Pelosi. I say that about a host of others, Bill and Melinda Gates. Melinda Gates is no woman. Just as Barack and Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama is a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. I mean, to me, this is just stunning, Susan, stunning. It's disgusting beyond belief. And the Democrat Party is doing everything they can to promote it.
You're right, Jim. It is absolutely disgusting. And I think that their god is, I'm not an expert in Satanism, but their god is the Baphomet, which is male, female combined. And when they promote the rational enlightenment, they're not talking like in the sense that we believe of being like a rational, you know, wise person. That for them, a rational enlightenment is a rejection of all that is good, a rejection of God. And so they are promoting evil. And they think if there is no God, then what is rational is to do what suits your pleasure, what enables you to acquire power and wealth and privilege. So those are all rational choices that you would want to make. You or I would want to make, but that they would choose to make in the interest of pleasing themselves, and in the process they don't consider society or the civilization or anybody else. You know, as like Rothschild said, morality is for the masses. So they pursue what they want, and I think the other part of that is that by destroying society, they make people weak and confused. They destroy the families, and then that in turn makes society a lot easier for them to conquer. It just makes us weak from within.
Yes, I completely agree. By the way, everyone out there, we're going to be taking calls the second hour. Mitchell will field your call, the number 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452 to speak to Susan and me about these and other issues. Susan, you're welcome to continue to pursue your explanation of the current situation, which I find totally appalling, un-American, un-Democrat, and the way that the Democrats are being so brutal and intolerant. First, they kicked Marjorie Taylor Greene off of her committees, which, to my knowledge, is unheard of for one party to dictate which members of the opposition party can be on which of their committees. And now they're trying to move to boot her out of Congress because she won't kowtow to them, because she speaks out. She exposes their hypocrisy, the absurdity of their position on one after another after another. I've never seen anything like this, Susan, where an American political party becomes so autocratic and totalitarian. And mark my words, that's exactly what the Democrat Party has become.
Yes, it is, Jim. That's exactly what it has become. And at the core, they are totalitarians. They endorse totalitarianism. They're tyrants, and they reject any form of democracy or representative government. They don't believe that they have to respond to the people. They would rather just impose their agenda through any means necessary in order to consolidate power and privilege for themselves. And I think, you know, they are showing their mask, you know, from what they're doing. I also, you know, with regard to this great reset, this is actually being promoted by both the Rothschild and Klaus Schwab, who's the head of the World Economic Forum. And the Rothschilds are now promoting inclusive capitalism. And of course, you know, they believe after they've stolen all of the wealth and they've destroyed small business in order to establish monopolies for themselves and their own businesses. They're now trying to make us part of the solution, but I think this is more grandstanding on their part. They have no interest in restoring the economy to the people, since they've taken it all. They're rather trying to reinforce their own position. And Klaus Schwab, his own credentials are he was he used to work for the United Nations, which is one of their organizations, and he was also knighted by the Queen, who is an illegitimate monarch. So his own credentials are quite dubious. You know, like the United Nations was grew out of their wars, which were manipulated by the European powers, which were all then controlled by either Rothschild bloodlines or Rothschild puppets. So they're making all of these institutions to serve themselves and their own financial and political position. And then Klaus Schwab is an agent who grew out of that system. So I think it's a height of maybe hypocrisy. I don't know if would be the right word, but it's you know, really, I don't see how he has any credibility to try to impose the Great Reset on the world. He doesn't have the credentials, the authority, and, you know, he's an agent of an illegitimate system.
Oh, Susan, I couldn't agree more. Now, it seems to me governance in the United States has just fallen apart. I mean, we had the massively stolen election. I think it's awareness that they're going to lose every election in the future if they can't do something about Donald Trump, who mopped the floor with them. Their pretense that Joe Biden got more votes than any other candidate in history is belied by the shockingly small crowds are getting on this attempt to promote their coronavirus stimulus plan, which includes only 9% of actual coronavirus stimulus and 91% of welfare for Democrats and recovery for Democrat states that have been so grossly mismanaged, as has been the case with New York and perhaps especially California. And now the chaos at the border, I mean, it's totally lawless there, Susan, and many are conjecturing that's exactly what the Democrats want. They want open borders, no borders with Mexico, no borders with Canada. They want to bring in the North American Union, even if the Correct. American people don't want it. They seem to assume an aura of superiority as though they know what's best for America and we're not entitled to have an opinion.
You're absolutely right, Jim. I'm not sure if it's what's best for America, but it's what's best for themselves. They've never really had the popular support of any movement that they've been party to, because they have engaged in lawlessness and violence in order to ram through their agenda of seizing wealth, property, and power. And they force people to go along with this agenda. And as you've seen, like they're now trying to weaponize immigration to have our country overwhelmed with new work. I don't think we need more workers with employment being as high as it is. And with our country facing such great deficits, you know, I don't think we can actually handle more people taking entitlements. But you're absolutely right. This is part of the agenda to just ram through what they want, regardless of what the people want. And it also goes back to the old Mongolian playbook that you want to give the people the impression that they have no choice, they have no power, so that they will, on their own accord, submit to this. And so I think it's very important for the people to to remember their own power and just to kind of see through the deception and push back.
That's just astounding to me, what's going on to the United States of America. I mean, I
wouldn't have seen it.
Susan, I do not recognize this as the country I grew up in. That's just astounding to me.
It is over the last 10 years. It's transformed into something I don't recognize either. This is not America anymore. It's really quite stunning.
Yeah, what's to become of us? How can we cope with it? I encourage people to build on articles I've republished on my blog, for example, about the hazards and risks of wearing face masks. There's a wonderful piece. It's now, I don't know, on the third page, I think. And I encourage them to write to their mayors, to their principals, to their state senators and members of the state house, to their state governors. The lockdowns, the social distancing, and the face masks are all very, very damaging to human beings and other living things. They weaken our immune system. They make us more vulnerable to future attacks. And it seems to me that Tony the Rat, Anthony Fauci, is doing everything he can to damage America, and in the process is more successful than Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, and Emperor Hirohito combined.
It's very sad that there are so many traitors within the United States. I mean, they should realize that once the game has been played, they will not have a privileged position within the administration, the new corrupt establishment. The traitors are the first ones to be purged. Because ultimately the cabal only has an interest in amassing wealth and power for itself at the expense of everybody else. So, the treason is not only to himself, but to his country. I had three points that I thought, for on a bigger and a wider scale that we could pursue as a nation to help help get ourselves on back to freedom. One is that since they do have all the money, and I'm talking about a lot of these people are trillionaires with a T, that we do need to create a financial system that does not include them, where their money is irrelevant. And I think they may, some of our patriots may be trying to do that now with this new financial system. We definitely need to close down the dumbs, these underground bases, because I think for a long time they had planned to exterminate humanity and then to retreat to these underground bases where they would be unassailable. So I think that our military is clearing out these dumbs. I think that is ensuring that they have no place to hide, and so they'll be more likely to work with us and potentially surrender or be compelled to do the right thing. I think we have to look at this to go back to reestablishing the divine right to rule. I don't see that we will have monarchs again throughout the world, but the governments that they have created are all illegitimate. And I think if we can have our lawyers and our citizens groups, to make this case, through the courts or however else they need to do it, we don't have to follow laws from governments that are illegitimate. We can take back our power. I'm not promoting revolution, but I think once they are seen to be illegitimate, I think we can establish a legitimate alternative that will restore integrity to our governments, like a government that is truly representative of the people and not just in name only.
Well, I'm fascinated by your reference to the deep underground bases, because I have heard similar reports that we're actually in the midst of a vast military operation that's intended to drain the swamp, just as Trump promised to do. And unwittingly, it's taking place behind the scene while the Democrats play out their incompetence and their agenda to display all its zeal for remaking America. I believe, in fact, we found this in this COVID bill. The part for farmers had 50% of the stimulus money for farmers going to non-white farmers, even though they're only 1/14 of the farm population. So you had 1/14 getting 50% and the other 13/14 getting 50% because they wanted to support the black farmers, the minority farmers. This is part of what they mean by a redistribution of wealth, and they're moving aggressively to promote it, Susan.
You're right, Jim. And unfortunately, when they promote this redistribution of wealth, they're able to virtue signal, and they lead the public to believe that they're actually creating some type of justice, you know, for the minorities. But in most of these cases, you know, they will give out, you know, have the government give out substantial settlements to Native Americans and to other, you know, minorities. But typically 90% of that, and often more, goes into their own pockets. So I think this is more, you know, virtue signaling. I would be surprised if the African Americans see much of that money.
Yeah, I think you're right. They're going to siphon it off. I've heard reports that a trillion of the 1.9 trillion can't be accounted for, that it's somehow vaguely there and vaguely not there, and who the hell knows what's going to happen. $1 trillion, Susan? I mean, that's staggering. Meanwhile, let me reiterate, we're glad to take calls this second hour. The number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Call in and share your opinions about any of the above or any other subject we haven't hit yet. Susan, just take this last minute before the break to sum up some of your thoughts about the situation we're in.
Okay, I think, and thank you again, Jim. I think we are looking at the death rattle of the deep state. I think much of what we're seeing is psychological. I know they're also, you know, they are hitting the small businesses and a lot of our citizens on a financial basis, but they do not have the power that they used to. Their power is receding, The deep state that they've created around us has been exposed. We do know how they set it up, and it is being taken down layer by layer. And I know that a lot of our public, you know, they're very concerned and they think it won't happen. It is happening, but it's taken literally 2,000 years, you know, to create this global structure, and so it will not fall overnight, but it is falling, and I do believe that, you know, the Patriots have the advantage here.
Stand by, Susan. We're so glad to have you here. We'll be right back after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Mm-hmm. must fight back! You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, with my special guest today, Susan Bradford, a return engagement. We have our first caller on the line. Please give us your first name and your state and join the conversation.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Am I on the line?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm John from Connecticut, and listen to the show. I've caught it a couple times. Last month or so, and thought that she brings a really interesting perspective to things. And wanted to mention just the, I think, overriding everything that's being said that she said is this there's a common denominator through everything they're doing, and is that it's always fear-based. You know, everything they're doing is just generating fear in people, and when that happens, they just can't see logic. So I think that's the challenge for everybody, to get through that barrier. And they know it's very powerful. The coronavirus, of course, is one of them where people can't, they just can't take in additional facts because they're fearful. And no matter how you explain something, it never gets through. So I don't know how you attack that, but that's the challenge.
Susan.
Thank you. Thank you, John. I think you're correct. And that actually goes back to the Mongolian mind magic, where they do try to inflict fear upon the people so that they will surrender. I think it's up to the people to really see the agenda for what it is, because once they see through all of the fog, they can then become rational again and take proper, make mindful choices.
how do they get through the fear, though, the fog? How do you get people through that?
For me, I think it would really be through education, because the magic that they use is through the power of illusion. So they create the impression that you have to wear your mask, otherwise you will die. You have to do this, or there will be severe consequences. So a lot of what they recommend, or what they try to impose, is not lawful, and it's all often irrational. So if you can educate people on what the reality is, and who's promoting it, and why they're promoting it, like, you help them understand the agenda, the mind magic, the magical hold that they have on the human consciousness will dissipate. So it's up to them to kind of to help them see through the fog.
Well, the problem I have with that is that I've seen that, I've tried that, and that it doesn't seem to work. Logic doesn't enter into people, reasoning and education. You have to be willing to receive it. So, like I said, I think we're still back to square one. You know, I just find that people cannot. I mean, this isn't real hard stuff. The coronavirus, the fact that it's this is not as bad as they're saying, and it's leading us down a road of economic destruction. That's not that hard to understand. It's supply and demand. It's simple economics. But people will not get it. They don't listen to you. They'll look at you like you're got two heads. And so that's the problem. Education won't work if someone's not willing to receive it.
And of course, being from Connecticut, John, you're well familiar with the psyop associated with fear from the Sandy Hook school shooting, which was actually a two-day FEMA drill, masquerading as mass murder. I mean, it's just outrageous how they design these events so cleverly to have maximal emotional impact, and then reason just goes right out the window.
Well, it's sort of like everything we're doing now. You get to accept the narrative, and once they cement that narrative in your head with fear, it's very hard to get that out. And that's what they do with all these things, including the shootings and things like that. It's on TV, it's plastered on the TV, it's terror, it's fear, it's terror. And it's really hard once you get printed with that narrative, unprinted. And I think they know that, and that's why when these things happen, they're just, it's repeated terror and repeated fear over and over again. So
yes.
I don't have any answers for you, but I just think that's the challenge for things. I haven't found the answer yet for that, but if someone does, let me know.
I think you're right. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Susan.
Yes, I was going to say, I mean, you're right. It's the power of the media, which is, you know, programming, where they're programming the mind, they're programming us like computers. I think I heard back like last year that the Patriots were going to interfere with the communications to stop the broadcasting, because I think that the people need to either turn off their TVs and search for the truth themselves, or we need to actually have the Patriot, the truth, the proper news broadcast to the people. But until we can actually do that, they either need to turn off their TVs, or the Patriots should interject to actually cut off the false programming.
John, please do hang around while I bring in Mitchell. He has a lot to say about subjects like these. Mitchell, join the conversation.
Hey, hello, Jim. Hi, Susan. Hi, John.
Hi, Mitchell.
Hope y'all are having a great day. I think our elected officials have forgotten that they're here to manage the affairs of the government and not manage the affairs of the people. Identity politics and this cradle to grave socialism that just gives the power and control to the state, but creates a somewhat gilded cage for many people. Many people are afraid to live without that today. And that's a testament to, you know, the brainwashing that people have gotten and expanded over the years, that, you know, the government can give a hand up, but too often government just gives handouts, and it's a never-ending stream. So now we have a, as I said on my morning show, we have immigrants or illegal immigrants all the way back to the top of the Andes Mountain, and they're all in a line. They're coming up north, and Joe Biden invited them, and the Democrat Party invited them, and it's Cloward and Piven on a massive scale. What's going to happen? I don't know, but it's not going to be stabilizing, whatever it is. Go ahead.
Susan.
I think all of those points are correct. The reason why they offer subsidies is that they've stolen all of the wealth. In order to get away with having stolen it, they offer a few pennies back to the people. One of their goals is to completely to financially ruin the United States, because the further we fall into debt, the more we become indebted to them, the easier we are to control. And also, if you have these immigrants coming in who are living on subsidies, you'll force the hardworking taxpayers to sponsor them. You'll give the immigrants their jobs. And eventually you have a new class of dependents who owe all of their allegiance entirely to those who are providing the subsidies, which would be the cabal. So you have an underclass that is entirely obedient to them. So all of this is being done by design to destroy the United States and to weaken the people. And you're right that we have to reverse course.
Mitchell, further thoughts or John? John?
I agree with pretty much. I think everyone is pretty much agreeing on this stuff. And like I said, I was talking with somebody and I was telling him, listen, you understand the media is totally corrupt. And they're like, yeah, I understand. I don't even watch them. And and the politicians, they're totally corrupt. Yeah. But he still believed coronavirus and all the fear. So it's very puzzling. It's really deep, and it's a lot harder, I think, to unravel people than you think. I'm having a hard time with it.
I'm not here to promote myself or my books, but I just wanted to let you know that I did write a book on the coronavirus. It's called Unmasked, the Coronavirus Story, and I do pick apart the coronavirus piece by piece. So that would be a good educational tool if you wanted to explain exactly what the coronavirus is, how it came about, and what it is intended to accomplish. And that could be the educational tool for you.
Tell us more about your book, Susan. That's fabulous, and where it's available. I would suspect Amazon would want to ban it.
They have banned it 3 times already. But I was able to have it restored by making a few adjustments. I think I took the coronavirus off the cover of one, and I had eliminated different parts of the title. The coronavirus, it was patented in England, the Purbright Institute. It was devised, by the Queen of England in order to, as part of a depopulation agenda. It was 2019, I believe. There was a event 201, and then there was also the World War Games in Wuhan, China. The coronavirus was released through those games in order to kind of to officially launch the coronavirus, and it was intended to be like a global exercise where the healthcare providers and the armed forces would work together to vaccinate the population or to respond to healthcare emergencies. So this was done as a long-term agenda. They first started with socialized medicine with Obamacare. Obamacare bankrupted the individual healthcare markets, so they had to find a way to make more money. The public had was no longer interested in war, so they're able to combine like both forces in order to find a way to pacify the population and also to generate more revenue for themselves. And with the coronation of the illegitimate Queen of England, the elites also coronated silent weapons for quiet wars. And that was a technocratic agenda that was designed to track and trace each individual so that they could control all of us. They wanted to be able to ration our energy and all of our expenditures while they enjoyed unlimited abundance as the gods on Earth. So this is like the final phase of that. We are going to have the armed forces and the healthcare providers forcing a type of tracking system on us, moving us off the land into these techno grids, and then essentially controlling us in technological prisons where the system is entirely automated, and they can control, you know, how much money you're able to spend, how much you're able to participate in the economy based upon a credit score. And that credit score was designed by Google through Eric Schmidt, who was working at the White House with Jared Kushner, who was unfortunately a part of this agenda. So I think that was what they had intended to do. I don't believe that they will succeed in doing this because there has been a lot of pushback.
You're telling me Jared Kushner was part and parcel of the whole COVID scam?
Yes, he was. At 666 Fifth Avenue, he created the RFID chip. Yes, he was.
How did he come to marry Ivanka? I've heard the suggestion that pheromones were used to induce her to fall in love with Jared that otherwise might never have happened. He's not really much of an alpha male. He doesn't seem to me like the type of person Ivanka ought to have been drawn to, but there it is.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I know from having researched Donald Trump's involvement with some of the casinos that he was indebted to the Rothschilds, and I think they may have had something to do with that marriage.
Really?
So that would be my guess, but I'm not really privy to how they actually got together.
Well, I've certainly felt for a long time that Jared was the chink in Donald's armor, and that he represented the interests of the Israelis and the Zionists and not those of the United States. So any way that he would be moved out of the picture would be positive, but by virtue of his marriage to Trump's daughter, whom he obviously idealizes, is extremely unlikely, it seems to me.
And we can see also that in Israel, that Bibi Netanyahu is forging full steam ahead to vaccinate the Israeli citizens and to impose like this type of tracking technology on them.
Now, did you notice that there's a suit has been filed with the International Criminal Court, The Hague, about the violations of the Nuremberg Code in Israel, because they're in essence forcing everyone to get the vaccine in violation of the code, which is a part of international law, completely outrageous.
Correct.
It requires, and it was adopted in the wake of World War II when Joseph Mengele was exposed as having performed all kinds of involuntary experiments on prisoners of war, that everyone has to be given informed consent, given information about the benefits and the risks of any experimental procedure, and in addition, that they have to know the alternatives, which it seems to me HCQ and Ivermectin provide wonderful alternatives that are non-invasive, don't require an injection, and don't, you know, where the whole thing, what's going on here is a massive fraud, because this is not technically a vaccine. Catherine Austin Fitz has been particularly good about emphasizing these are injectables, but they don't qualify as medicine, and therefore they shouldn't be exempt from liability as though they were, which of course all the propaganda is intended to obfuscate, but there it is. Susan.
Yeah, that's correct, Jim. And they're also even more sinister than what you've described. Since it is an experimental vaccine, if you were to die from the vaccine, you would have surrendered your life insurance. So they have it out there. They get to keep your money. And also, since they've defined the vaccine as part of a war, like we're in World War III against China, since it is a security concern, they would have access to all of your health records, you know, on the basis of that alone, since it's the coronavirus is defined as a national security concern. That would give them any affiliated or any applications to vaccines or treatments would give them access to your healthcare records, and that could be used by the government for any purpose.
Mitchell, would you like to join back?
Yeah, well, Jim, yes. They're definitely using, you know, COVID as an international push to track everybody everywhere all the time. And mandatory experimental vaccines never seem to end up real well for some reason. Maybe it's because the FDA approves so many drugs that pharmaceutical companies say are okay until 10, 20, 40, 50,000 people die of heart attacks, or they go blind, or, you know, half a dozen other things. It's
Oh, yes, I was going to say that going back to the old Venetian tactics, one of the reasons that they were able to conquer nations and worlds is that they had extensive spy networks. But I think this tracking device is part of that network. They want to have a full accounting of every single person alive so that they can manage society in such a way as to control those people. And I think since it's also the vaccines are geared towards specific DNA structures, I think that they are targeting specific races of people for different genetic experiments. You know, they may want to eradicate specific races, or, you know, program other races to evolve in a specific way, you know, based upon eugenics.
Well, it looks to me like it's got to be the white race they want to eradicate. I'm reminded of Helter Skelter, which was supposed to be Charlie Manson's scheme to create a race war, because he believed that while whites were smarter than blacks, that blacks were stronger than whites, and therefore if there were a race war, that the whites would take out the blacks, would take out the whites, but because they were dumber, they'd need leadership, where Charlie and his band would emerge from the Spawn Ranch. I mean, it sounds so absurd to provide that leadership. I think that the Israelis, the Zionists, see themselves in that same role. They want to precipitate a war. I mean, look, the Russians, I'd say genetically, are probably more closely related to Americans than maybe other societies. I've long felt Russians and Americans had so much in common. But if they can precipitate a war between Russia and America, then they're wiping out two bastions of the white race and of Christianity and of, you know, Western culture, actually, which has great affinities with Russian. I mean, it's just, to me, utterly stunning when you look at it from this point of view. Is there anything to this, Susan?
Yes, I think you're correct. You're correct, Jim. So the Venetians were able to acquire the dominance that they have through through mercenaries, who accompanied their merchants along their routes. So they always had an invading force. And if you recall, like during the Roman Empire, the barbarians invaded Europe and crushed the Roman Empire. So they're trying to use a different race of the people as a conquering force. And it may be that they're trying to militarize African Americans against the white population, you know, for that purpose. They have engaged in these practices, you know, repeatedly over the years. I think you're right.
Mitchell, your thoughts, and John too. John, would you like to further reflect?
Well, I don't know if he's still here, but you know what I would say is that today, because of our media programming, and it has become real fluid, maybe is a good description. And this political placebo effect, where they can create the reality by projecting their stories into our minds. And we've been combining this Lord of the Rings and Animal Farm mentality. And it's being projected really through, you know, our mainstream media. And it has to have an effect on the psyche of people, particularly as they're locked down, isolated, and, well, unbalanced now.
That's true. And they've tried to dumb down the populations generation after generation. They're taking away like critical thinking and replacing it with like a emotional-based education, where the goal is to make sure that you follow orders, you know, that you want everyone to be able to get along. You begin to acquire the values of the group. So if the group tells you that you should get your vaccine, then that's what you should do to be a member of that group. Like, you know, they're creating like a generation of snowflakes. So it's you're right. It's we have to kind of break through the programming, but they've done so much damage to the families by destroying the nuclear family, and they destroyed the educational system. Well, a lot of the upcoming generations really, you know, cannot think clearly to be able to see through the deception.
And hasn't a lot of that been by promoting gay and lesbian relationships? It seems to me, you know, they're undermining traditional family values. Two women or two men cannot reproduce, of course, so that's also going to contribute to depopulation. Do you believe those are all combined here, Susan?
Yes, they are, Jim, and they are doing this systematically, and now they're trying to bring men into women's sports. And then, of course, once they are able to do that, then, you know, who knows what the next step will be, where that they will, you know, pervert male female relations even further. It's very stunning to me. It's very stunning to me, even looking at the social media, that there's so much animosity now between men and women, where they distrust each other. And I think this was all done by design. You know, go back, you know, a few, like a generation or two, and there was a value of, you know, viva la difference. You know, the men and women appreciated the differences. Yeah. We all found a way to get along with each other, and now they're completely at odds.
Let me repeat the number for calling in, and we welcome first-time callers, 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Mitchell will handle your call and get you into the conversation. Stand by. We'll be right back with Susan Bradford after this break.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Oh,
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People's Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Susan, before I bring in our next regular caller from California, I'd like you to elaborate a bit on why you believe the destruction of those deep underground bases is taking place. I mean, it's something I've also heard reported, but I'm interested in what you have found out about it and why you have concluded it's taking place.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I know I've heard, you know, some of the reports in social media as well. One of my contacts, I'm sorry to use kind of like an anonymous source, but somebody who would have that knowledge, who I've been working with for several years, did advise me that they were taking place, because I agree with you. You know, we haven't seen any proof that it is happening beyond, you know, a few earthquakes here and there. But based upon my communications with that person who is a credible source, and this is not a person in social media, but somebody who has who works with the military and would have firsthand knowledge of it, has advised me that it is taking place.
Our next caller is Paul from California. Join the conversation, my friend.
Well, thank you for the invitation once again. I have a little bit of a rant in me today, not as big as some other days and not as passionate, but a couple of things were said that sort of triggered me a little. First, I'm like, nothing to do with your guest, of course. I think she's done a great job. By the way, just quickly, I'm assuming you're aware, but you may not be, that Miles Mathis has been for a couple of years now, at least, referring to these people as the Phoenician Navy. And of course, what he means by that is he sort of switched a while back, but essentially entrenched Jewish power is how he uses Phoenician Navy to refer to these people. So your work, obviously,
Khazarian Mafia, for example.
Yeah, well, so he still does all his genealogy work, which I, you know, to be honest, I find tedious. I'm sure I'm not alone with the other readers, and he didn't start out that way, but you know, the genealogy work, essentially tracing the lineage of most of these people to what he calls the peerage, and it's of note, and I'm not sure how useful it is, because I think the most useful thing that he does is to expose the fraud and the fakery and the machinations of what we're all witnessing. But quickly, I wanted to address something that John was saying, because everybody can relate to this, the frustration of trying to wake up and deal with other people. And part of me wants to say, hey, John, just give up. Just give up, because it's a waste of time. But that's not really true. A certain number of people will listen to you, and a certain number of people won't. And I think a lot of it depends on exactly what it is you say and how you say it, and of course your personality. So it's like, for example, in a sales organization, there's going to be some people that are more effective at presentation and communication than others. But I have experienced the same level of frustration that a lot of people have. As I said to an email, a friend of mine referencing what's happening with you and your family, Jim, that, you know, if five members of your family have not only don't actually believe everything you say, but have actually taken the shot, it's like, what position do the rest of us have? You know, what the, you know, in other words, you know, with the reputation that you have and your position of being on the air all the time exposing these things, it's like, this is what we're up against. And so in that regard, you know, all you can do is just let nature play out. As a friend of mine once told me years ago, that when people start acting stupid, bad things happen to them. And I don't really wish it on anybody, but the bottom line is that if these people are going to believe these lying monsters and, you know, wear 2 and 3 masks and take 2 shots or 3 shots, then nothing I can do about it. And at least now they're out of the way, because as far as I'm concerned, when the people that are actually subservient and believe in these people are eliminated, then the rest of us, in my opinion, have a much better chance of being free. But we have to be willing to take action. The bottom line is, waking people up is of limited use if these people are not going to be willing to take action. Because as a well-known author once said, as long as these people have been known to history, their behavior has been described. And of course, it's destructive, and it's very, very. It's a pattern.
I'm sorry to say the number has increased to 6, Paul. Not good. Okay. Not good.
How do you know this? You're not in direct communication with all of them, so this information is given to you.
Well, one of my brother's birthdays was on St. Patrick's Day, so we've had conversations, and he informed me how he'd had the shot.
How is he doing, Jim?
Well, you know, so far, I mean, the consequences, I think it appears, are mostly going to occur next time around, you know, a year later, that your immune system has been wiped out, and then next time you encounter, you're going to have a problem. The issue there being, and, you know, none of this, therefore, is 100% clear that if it's not a real virus, what the hell is it that's going to affect and bring about the death of people after having this shot? But it does appear that it has the opposite effect intended, that it's not only not a medicine, but that it's actually harmful and causes you to have an autoimmune problem you would never have had but for taking the shot. Paul, is that consistent with your understanding? Yeah.
Well, of course. I mean, there's no other intent for it. And, you know, not to make this a vaccine or a virus show, which I think we can and should, you should continue to do those sorts of shows because that's important. But, you know, the idea, the main problem that we have here is people that believe and trust perceived authority. And as you have made your career now, that the perceived authority is always going to lie and commit fraud. And just one of the things that triggered me briefly before you go back to Susan is you mentioned Charlie Manson and his whole idea of helter skelter. And of course, that's all nonsense. If you if that happened today, you would investigate it and uncover it. But of course, that you don't have to do that because it's been done masterfully by Miles Mathis. And that was the very first paper of his I read, and I sent you that. And it's okay, yeah. You know, I didn't think you would read the whole thing, but the bottom line is that thing was a fraud.
But Paul, I was just drawing a parallel with what I believe is going on in the minds of those today. I wasn't endorsing it. I think we've got a parallel agenda on a worldwide scale.
Right. I did. And just to be clear, I didn't take it that you believed it. I just thought you were using it, but I thought maybe the use was maybe just a little inappropriate. And I just wanted to clarify for you and for all the listeners that, of course, that whole thing was just like today. They used it for fear and to blackwash the hippie movement and to blackwash the peace movement. Charlie Manson was an agent. He was an actor. Vince Bugliosi, the prosecutor, is a liar. He's a proven liar. The whole trial was a fraud. Sharon Tate was never killed. And it's just the same thing that they're doing today, they were doing before. It goes back a long way.
By the way, have you seen Tarantino's film Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
No, I read reviews about it on several websites. I didn't have a desire to see it
after. Paul, you gotta see the film. It's really a terrific film. You'll like it. Susan.
Just to speak on what Paul had said about educating people, and we do live in a free society, and you know everybody has a right to their own free will. So if they choose not to listen, unfortunately, you know, they have that choice, even though it's we know the consequences that they will suffer. I think it's important for us just to be there when they are ready for information and to be able to educate them and to be open to them, because ultimately, you know, we're not there. We don't want to be like an authority for them, but I think we need to be open. Like when the student is ready, the teacher will come. So you can let them know if they don't hear you. You don't want to throw pearls before swine. But then when they are ready and that they do approach you with information, make sure that you do educate them and that you are open and available to them. I know that sounds kind of trite, but I think a lot of people do feel like they are obligated to force people to wake up. Not everybody will wake up. And I think we really only need a small percentage of the population to be aware in order to turn things around. We don't need everybody to be on board. And I think a lot of people who are not aware right now will enjoy the benefits of those of us who have put our lives on the line and our careers on the line to serve the country.
I mostly agree with that, I must say. I would just add my own personal addendum. And then after that, if you're really angry, you can treat them with contempt and disdain, and that makes you feel better. So,
definitely a choice.
We have another caller here from the 412 area code. Caller, please just give us your first name and state and join the conversation.
Hi, Jim. It's Scaredy Cat.
I was scared. Go ahead. Lay it on.
Yeah. So also hello quickly to Susan, Mitch, John, and Paul. So last time I think I was quite hot and excited, hot and bothered when I on the radio when I called in. And so I'm glad you, Jim, is having you on his show again. And so I was just like two or three people now in conversation have been puzzled about, I think John from Connecticut used the word puzzled, that he's puzzled and about how to unravel people. And he used the word, the bottom line is fear. And I guess he's talking about cracking people's understanding of this coronavirus, which people call the scandemic. I call it a theftdemic because bottom line, I think the way to deal with it, I believe, is if we realize, if we really follow through the thinking to its logical conclusion, we'll understand that it's not about genocide or anything. Yes, genocide, obviously, rich people want that. Filthy rich want us dead because, of course, they can possess our property, more for them to own. But then there's another arrow, another result to come to. That is not the genocide, is not the bottom line. Bottom line is theft. So they will, the filthy rich, they're filthy and stinking because they are drowning and swimming in the mountains of money, and that therefore that makes filthy oxygen They're depriving us of oxygen, and in a way, you know, they're becoming stinky rich because they're all covered up in money and genocide. All this unhealth disease they are causing will lead to maiming us and becoming incapable, and finally, some of us, lots of us will become that, and lots of us actually will, of course, fall into death. And but I don't think in that black way. I just think, okay, there's another layer to come to rock bottom. What is the absolute final conclusion in terms of analyzing the thinking of what's going on? And that is theft. So I call it theftemic. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good way to think about it ourselves, and kind of to realize it through and through. And that way we can be more effective and explain things in a calmer way to people. And to young people, the young generation, we really need to connect with them. And yes, it is actually true what Paul from California is saying. You know, the quicker, really, really unreachable, dumb, stupid thinking persons die off, well, I suppose that's less of a problem, less people for us to convince. But, you know, that will happen anyway. But I think our effort, I mean, our personal effort, I'm not going to go out and shoot somebody. Whom would I shoot? And also, I'm not going to, any person I encounter, on the face of it, a stranger, especially a youth, teenager, or 20s, up to even people in their 30s, we are their higher generation. We are their aunts and uncles. I don't know, prima facie, you know, on the face of it, if they're stupid or smart. So I'm, my first few sentences are just going to be to convince them of the theft and provide them evidence.
So I would like to ask you a question, Security Captain. Can I ask her a question?
Sure. I'll call you later. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I heard that background. I didn't know what that was or who that was. So, Scaredy Cat, since you mentioned my name, and so I will agree with your point to a point. I think you're maybe half right, but I don't think the main motivation at this point for these people is theft, especially when you look at the weather warfare geoengineering that they've been doing for a long time and the disastrous effects it's having on the environment. I think it really is, like so many people have been saying, that destruction of our natural world, of course, and that would mean the support we have for agriculture and the food supply. I don't think there's any doubt about it if you watch the work of Dane Wigington and some of these other people. So theft is, in my opinion, at this point, a side benefit. But here's what I wanted to ask you. On another call, you mentioned about a relative of yours, I forget exactly the relation, that was recently became a doctor. Am I correct?
A young, it's good to talk about that because that's the young generation. My younger cousins, so he's a few years older, younger than me. His daughter is in Johns Hopkins University, becoming a doctor.
Right. I thought it was a little bit more.
So I was going to ask you. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you. Okay, so yeah, so that's good. I didn't know. So I just was going to say I didn't know exactly what the relations were, and if you're in contact. But what do they believe? Are members of your family believing any of this? Are any members of your family going to be vaccinated?
Yes, and that's to use Jim's words, distraught, upset, and I'm doing my best. And I think Jim gave us, my daughter, thankfully, my son, he actually took a testing. And when my daughter told me, and that upset me very much, because Vernon Coleman said that testing might be a sneaky way to actually give us the vaccine, because they could have something on top of that cotton swab that is inserting, like they could have the vaccine on the cotton swab sneakily.
That's right. Sure.
Quite apart from the brain damage it could cause going up our nostrils, you know, as we say,
right.
You know, using the woman's word, rape, raping our nostrils. So
right, and leave alone the fact that you could point out to them, since they've admitted they haven't isolated the virus, and this is like John Rappaport said many, many months ago, that this is the CDC's own documentation. They've not isolated the, what are they testing for? So go on.
Scary?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So just to pull Sarah, is it Sarah?
Susan.
Sarah Bradford? Susan. Because we just have a few minutes with Jim's guest. So Susan, what is really helping? And I think this idea about trying to convince strangers, and to me, my focus is any shop I go into, I will talk with the young cashier. A cashier who's usually young, teenager, 20s and 30s. And those are the best, but of course, if it's an old person, I will also talk with them. And the best gift Jim gave us was on his blog, jamesfetzer.org. Of course, he has lots of articles, especially John Manley's 20 Reasons article, which is giving actual doctors, for example, Tamara Van Ark, I think she's the Dutch Minister of Medical Care. She's against masking and probably vaccination in the Netherlands. So this is what will make an impact to a young person, because I think we have to have the attitude towards them of that they are innocent. They're not stupid, really. There's a spectrum of, you know, stupid to smart, which all age groups have. So basically, they're innocent. And when we provide an article like that, there's a dozen medical doctors and, published journals which is who are listed in that article. So I'm planning today to go to a Xerox store, copy it, and have Paul from California has a famous clipboard, which for months I was jealous of. Now I can have a clipboard, and I can hand, you know, when I buy a sandwich, talk a little friendly, in a friendly way, have something, and that is what's going to change minds. So my question, sorry, that's too much of a prelude, but here's my question. Do you have something useful like that in your book? Because you talked, it was broad and vague, and I couldn't see everything you had said. I actually just heard in various, you know, talk radio. But do you have something useful like that? Evidence?
Yes. So, and I apologize. I sometimes try to speak in broad terms, so I don't lose the forest for the trees. But yes, I within this book, it's a very it's an easy to read book. It's been very widely received, widely distributed, and favorably received. It does show exactly how it was created, how it was patented, and then what the larger political designs are for this vaccine and the coronavirus, as demonstrated by the government's own paperwork and documentation. And I did not include the actual medical aspects of the coronavirus, because my book would not be able to publish the book if it did contain that information. But it does show that the wider political context in which it does occur, and it shows what the vaccine is intended to do, you know, to further that agenda.
But
so,
is
that
is it just your ideas and your beliefs that it's evil?
Not my beliefs. When I write a book, I keep my beliefs at bay. It's objective. It's based upon government documentation, because I believe that my beliefs are irrelevant. You know, like my goal is the truth, and my beliefs are irrelevant. Like, so what I reported is where the facts have led me.
So just quickly before we are done with this. So just quickly, Scaredy Cat, I want to give you three things to do, because you've mentioned this sort of thing before. This is for everybody out there, but especially for you. Go to vaccinefraud.com and read. Vaccinefraud.com. Also, if you want to order Suzanne Humphrey's book, Dissolving Illusions, that would be wonderful. But you can listen to Suzanne Humphrey's give presentations, and talk on YouTube. So spend an hour listening to Suzanne Humphreys and or order her book, Dissolving Illusions. Go to vaccinefraud.com. If you do these things, you will have all the information crystallized in your mind that you can pretty well dispense with the whole notion that vaccines have ever been safe or effective. And that's where we need to begin, and that's where we need to end.
Susan, Scarity, yes, we're almost there. Let me have each of you a final thought. Paul, you've been model today, just terrific contribution. Susan.
Yes, also, Scarity Cat, again, my book is entitled Unmasked, The Coronavirus Story. It is available on Amazon. And then I've also written Royal Blood Lies, that paints like a broader picture on the origins of the cabal and how that agenda has manifested in our current situation with the Great Reset and the coronavirus scandal. So, but if you have any questions, do contact me directly and I'll do my best to answer them.
Scarity, a final thought, but concise.
Jim, we have to include teachers in on this. So every doctor, public doctor that is on TV, young people find it incredible. They can't believe every doctor on TV is a crook, but they are. Every journalist, public, big ones are crooks. And it seems every teacher is now a crook. So we have to remember teachers. This is a letter I got from my friend, a 50-year, half-century friend from back when I was a little kid in Pakistan. My second graders, my new virtual classroom is up and running and even humming. My 7 and 8-year-olds have managed to build relationships. This is terrible. I was sick to my stomach when I heard that. This woman is forcing little kids to be chained like a chain, iron shackles their eyeballs to the computer 8 hours a day. Go ahead.
Scarity, you're wonderful. I'm so delighted when you call in. Paul, you were wonderful. John, I'm glad you called in too. Mitchell, too, for his contribution. Susan, just excellent. I can't thank you enough. Thank you. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Thank you all for joining us today. And we'll talk with you soon on Monday. Have a good weekend.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the perfect triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.